But today we're starting a new series, Living in the Power of God. Any of y'all believe in the power of God today? Yes. If you believe in the power of God, put both your hands up. Say, I believe in the power of God.
I believe in the power of God.
Praise God. Now put your hands down. I want to pray today for you and for all of us that we will get something fresh from God today. Because we're talking about something that we've all experienced, the power of God, that we've all heard about the power of God, that we know something about, one degree or another, we all know something about the power of God. But today, I believe, now I don't know about you, but I believe that our God is big enough that He can give us all a new and a fresh way of seeing His power, and He can give us all a fresh revelation of His power today. You believe that?
Yes.
Bring you insights, something you hadn't seen, a little glimmer, and it may come through me, and it may come just through Him talking to you on the inside of you, which He does so well. So I want to pray for you, and I want all of us to agree together we're going to get something fresh from God. You want that? Father, we pray today and we ask You for fresh revelation and insight. Help us to see You and Your power in a new way, in a fresh way. And Father, I pray for every person in here that there'd be another facet of You, another facet of what Christ is providing for us, another facet of who we are in You and who You are in us that we would see today. And Father, I pray that we would all walk out of here seeing and understanding in a greater way, in a deeper way, in a larger way, Your power. Oh, Your power, and how to live in Your power and to live by Your power and to live through Your power. Oh, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Most of you know the New Testament was not originally written in English. Did y'all realize that? Does everybody know that? The New Testament was not originally written in English. It was written in an ancient language, a language, Greek language. And the writers of the New Testament wrote in the Greek language. And they used that language to express themselves. And then that language we've translated now down to our language. And everything that we read has come from somewhere. You know, we hope it has its origin in Greek. But the reality is some things kind of lose their sense of meaning whenever they get translated. One of those words is the word power. One reason is there's a lot of words that the Greek language uses for the word power. There are a lot of different expressions and uses. But in our language, when the translators translated it, they just stick the word in their power. And they don't. We don't have all the nuances of the words that they had. And that might be why Greek is such a complicated language to study. You know, we all use that expression or have heard the expression, it's Greek to me, because it's a difficult language. But one of the words, and I might say, just me, you may love the word agape, you know, sloppy, agape, God kind of love, and I like that. But my favorite Greek word is the word dunamis. Any of y'all ever heard of that word? If you've heard me preach a lot, you've heard that word, because I love that word, dunamis. And dunamis means explosive strength, ability, and power. Now, dunamis, can anybody think of any words in our language, in the English language, that sound similar to the word dunamis? What? Dynamite. You know any others?
Dynamic.
Dynamo. What did you say? Large intestine? What? I didn't hear you. What did he say?
Dynasty.
Well, that's good, Bobby. You won there. I didn't even think of that one. Dynamite, dynamic, dynamo, dynasty. These are all words that come and have their origin in this Greek word right here, dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. Now, does everybody know what dynamite is? Aha, even the little ones know what dynamite is. So I'm assuming the big ones know too. Now let's just talk for a minute about dynamite. Because we're going to be talking about dunamis. And dunamis is explosive strength, explosive power, really. And This word is the word that's used very often in the New Testament when it's talking about the power of God. This word is translated in many verses into the word power. We're talking today, starting a series on living in the power of God. So we can't go anywhere until we figure out what the power is that we're going to be living in. My job today is to lay the foundation so you can understand what it is we're talking about. So let's talk about dynamite for a minute, since we understand a lot more about dynamite than we do dunamis. So let's think about dynamite. You know, it's interesting. When dynamite was first developed, you and me know a lot of things that are explosive. Does anybody know anything that's explosive? What? Gasoline and a Lewis brother. Gasoline and Brian Lewis equals big explosion, yes. Okay. One day we're going to have just a little excerpt of the Lewis family's doings, and you can hear about some of them, but they're dangerous people. Do not let your, well, anyway, don't let your kids loose with them. They're dangerous. Gasoline. Let's think of a big explosion, huh? Nitroglycerin. Atomic. Uh-huh. Atomic bombs, you know. Probably if we had to say what could cause the biggest explosion that we could think of, we'd think of an atomic bomb. Do what? A supernova? Okay, yeah. Yeah, but we've never witnessed that up front and in person, you know. We haven't really seen good pictures of it either. So we're going to stick with the atomic bomb. Now, imagine this, or recognize this. Whenever dynamite was developed, there was no atomic bomb. Now, you got to go back in time. We're looking back at time, and we think dynamite, not that big of a deal maybe to us. But now, you got to realize, when dynamite was first developed, it was a huge deal. Because there were no atomic bombs. There were no other kinds of weapons that would make an explosion like dynamite would. And so when they developed dynamite and they were looking for a word to describe the power of this dynamite and describe this stuff, they went to the Greek and got this word dunamis. They said explosive power. Explosive power, that's what this dynamite is. It's explosive power. And so they labeled that substance dynamite. Explosive power is in this stuff. Now, you got to remember back in, you know, we have it so easy now. I don't know why you gripe and complain. Because you have it easy. Where's that button? Everything in your life really is easy. I mean, how many of you walked 6 miles to church this morning? Or rode your donkey? Because only the rich among us would have the donkey. We have it so easy. Now let's look back in time and let's think about what life used to be like for people. People had no way to move big things out of their way. Mountains were a huge issue. If you lived on one side of the mountain range and you're wanting to go to the other side of the mountain range, you know what you have to do? You have to find what they call a pass. And you can only go through those mountains or cross those mountains where you can find a pass. And a pass is where, you know, mostly water has eroded away the mountain so you can get through. But the pass may be way out of your way. Way out of your way. And now you're traveling, think. If you're really doing well, you got you a wagon and a horse or a donkey or a mule. But you might be on foot. A lot of people cross this country on foot, pushing carts. Can you imagine? They migrated, pushing a cart with everything they belonged in their cart, walking across the country. Over mountains. Have any of you seen mountains? Mountains are big. You're going to go up a mountain. You got your push cart. You're going to get around that mountain. You're going to have to go straight up a cliff. It's not going to really work. You're going to have to look for a pass. This was life. This was the reality of life until dynamite came along. Because finally, there's a substance where we can blow the side off that mountain. Finally, there's a substance we can use. We can blow the top off of it. I'm going to tell you, the reality is, with dynamite, you can blow the whole mountain away. If you got enough trucks to cart off the mess you make, you can blow away mountains What do you think mining is? They're blowing off mountaintops. I mean, some open mining, they actually literally blow off the side of the mountain so they can get what's inside of it, so they don't have to go underground to get it. Sure makes a mess of the land. Now, we're talking about dynamite. Say dynamite. Dynamite was used to blast through mountains. Now, if you've ever been on a trip, you've gone up in North Georgia, gone up into the mountains in Tennessee, you've encountered the effects of dynamite. I mean, you can go interstate highway through every mountain range in this country. Just barrel right through in your SUV or your subcompact and barrel right through on a nice four-lane road that has shoulders and protective barriers so you don't fall off the side, all because of dynamite. Dynamite. Now, it gives you a little more respect for dynamite, doesn't it? Takes it out of the realm of what Wile E. Coyote used and puts it more in an arena where you appreciate it a little more. What you can do with dynamite. Now, we have developed other things. Like we said, one of the things we developed has been atomic energy, atomic nuclear energy, atomic weaponry. And in doing that, we have encountered even more explosive power. Now, if we hadn't used the word dynamite already, we could use the word dynamite for the atomic bomb, the hydrogen bomb, or for whatever we're going to come up with next. Because there's probably something else that'll make an even big boom than what we've already seen. And you know how men are. They're looking to make a big boom. There's something in that Y chromosome that makes you want to make a big boom. And they giggle. Now, dunamis. We're talking about dunamis. We're talking about the power of God. And I just want you to see the power of God is like dynamite. Really, we could say it's like an atomic bomb. Because we have to use things we know to describe things we don't know. And we don't know the extent of the power of God. The reality is it's way beyond even the supernova that Neil mentioned. The power of God is more explosive than that. But we just have to find some natural way to relate to what the Bible's talking about, because our understanding is so small and our light is so, you know, dim in comparison. We don't see all there is to see. We don't have full understanding. So today, what we're looking at is the power of God and its dunamis power. So when you think of dunamis power, and when you hear us talk about power in these next few weeks, you think of a mountain that you don't want there being blasted out of the way by dynamite. That's the image. Just close your eyes for a minute. See a mountain? You see a mountain? Now just a huge explosion just obliterating that mountain. Can you see that? The thing that caused that explosion, that obliterated that mountain, that got it out of your way, is the power of God. Dunamis. Okay, you can look at me. All right. I'm going to let y'all in on a secret, just right up front here early on. This power, this dunamis power, guess where it is? It's inside of you. Now, think of it. If I told y'all this morning in my satchel I had nitroglycerin, in my satchel I have dynamite, and Matt's got a lighter, you'd be just a little leery. I think that the ushers would be looking at my satchel, and they would keep their eye on it. And I think Janice might choose to sit on that front row. Wouldn't you kind of be a little more respectful of what was in my satchel? You wouldn't be tossing it around. You know, probably my kids wouldn't just grab it and grab all the money out of it and throw it aside. It's easy. It'd be more likely that we would treat it with a little greater respect, honor, reverence. Well, I'm going to tell you something a lot more explosive and a lot more powerful than dynamite is inside of you. That's true. You might say, well, I don't really know about that. Well, just because you know it doesn't mean it isn't there. You might say, well, I've never seen it. You ever seen your brain? Some of you, it would help you to actually see your brain. Then you might want to start using it. But explosive power is inside of you. And so I want you to know that. Now, here's what I want you to leave here today. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I want you to leave here today with. so that you can live above the limitations of this world and overcome everything that the enemy brings your way, God has endowed you with supernatural, explosive, life-giving power and ability. So that you can overcome. So that you can live above the limitations of this world and the world system and this natural realm and every evil thing that's in it. So you can overcome every force of darkness. God has endowed you, given you, put in you, put upon you supernatural, explosive, life-giving power and ability. Praise God. Can you say praise God? Praise God. And not only that, God has ordained that every person in this room, every person on planet Earth, really, would live by that power, that explosive power, because that power can be applied in a small measure and in a great measure, depending on what is needed. That power is what you and me are called to live in, to live through, to live by. That power. Not your power. Not your strength. Not your ability. But this dynamite power that's within us. I'll give you some references. It's all through the Bible. I could stand up here the whole service and just read scripture after scripture that definitely says this is what we're, ordained to do, what's been ordained for us. But I'll just quickly run through some that might be recognizable to you. Ephesians 6:18, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and in the power of his might. And then, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, if you're a born again person, you're living in the kingdom of God. And that scripture says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Power. Dynamite, explosive power. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians, because this scripture is going to be the basis of our study and living in the power of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Hopefully one week we'll have time to share what was going on, the circumstances around when Paul wrote this. But just know this, Paul was having a difficult time. Any of y'all familiar with difficult times? Any of y'all familiar with obstacles? Have any of you ever encountered a problem? Any of you ever encountered a weakness in yourself? You have? Y'all come and share. I want to hear this. No. Okay, 1 Corinthians. That's what Paul was dealing with. He was dealing with a mess of problems. The greatest mess in the early church that was encountered in Paul's ministry was right here. He was dealing with it. And this is what he said. This is what he said to these folks that he was dealing with. He said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4, he said, though he, do y'all notice anything about the word he? Capital. What's that mean? He, God, and in this case it means speaking of the God Jesus. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. Do y'all know why Jesus is able to live now? Because of the power of God. That's why Jesus is alive. Did we sing a song, he's alive, I'm really? No, we didn't sing that. I hear these songs funny. I'm alive. Okay, I'm alive. He's alive too. And he's alive by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him. What does your Bible say? By the power of God. We shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Paul is writing here and saying, hey, we're weak, but we're not living in our weakness. We're living not subject to our limitations or our inabilities or what we can't do or what we don't know. We're living by the power of God. You can live, ought to live, by the power of God. by dynamite, explosive power that's in you. You live by that power. Now, turn in your Bible, and this is where we're going to be the rest of the time, over to Ephesians chapter 1. Because you have to understand some things about this power, and I think sometimes we just go, yeah, oh, yeah, the power of God, yeah, the power of God. Yeah, been there, had that, done that, saw that, experienced that. What else you got? Well, I'm going to tell you today, we ain't got nothing else. It's all there is. It's the power of God. Nothing else in our hat. No more to look for. This is it. The power of God. So we need to know about the power, because let's don't just assume we know everything there is to know about the power of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul's writing here. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now he's going to tell us what he's been praying for him. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he wants us, really, he's saying here, I'm praying for God to reveal something to you and help you understand something, and that you, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that you would have a greater knowledge of him. And then he goes on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means, that's a fancy way of saying, so you can understand. So you can see for yourself. That you may know, and there's three things that he wants us enlightened about. Three things that we desperately need to know about. I read one commentary on this passage, and it said that the perfect church would know these three things. The ideal church would know these three things. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And that's where it gets good. What is the exceeding greatness of his dynamite dunamis power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Y'all see that? We need to know. Paul prayed that this church at Ephesus would know the exceeding greatness of this power. And you and me need to know the exceeding greatness of this power, because we have it in us. We have it on us, and we got to live by it. That's how we overcome, is using the power of God, flowing with and applying the power of God. Now, there's a couple of things about this power that I want to point out right up front, and I'm going to need some help here. I guess, Nate, I can use you because you're right there. Why don't you come up here? Nate, I need you to lay down right here on the platform and just have your eyes, you know, toward the ceiling. Well, actually, I just need you to close your eyes. If you could just lay down on the platform and close your eyes. I don't need you to move. I need you to stretch your legs out and don't move. Now, can everybody see Nate? If you can't, it's Nate lying on the floor. Nate, close your eyes. Close your eyes and don't move. Nate is a dead man. Now, this scripture says that he prayed that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I'm going to tell you, I have read this verse, no lie, thousands of times. These are some of the most read verses for me in the Bible, maybe the most. But I'm going to tell you, I read that, and I read where it says, you still dead, Nate? It says he was raised, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And in my mind, when I go by that, I would think, yeah, Jesus came out of the tomb. God raised Jesus from the dead. He raised a dead man. But now, it's interesting to note that it doesn't say here which he worked in Lazarus when he raised him from the dead. Because didn't Lazarus get raised from the dead? Lazarus was a dead man. Notice it didn't say when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, because didn't Jairus' daughter get raised from the dead? There are a lot of examples that could have been used if he was talking about raising somebody from the dead in the sense of bringing a dead body back to life. But the resurrection of Jesus isn't just about a dead body coming back to life. We need to look in behind what happened at the resurrection and see the truth behind the resurrection if we're going to understand this power. Because now, if Nate were really dead, and I'm glad he's not, but if Nate were really dead, how many of you think you could come up here and raise him from the dead? Kristen. She's for you, man. I'm right there with you, Kristen. I'd be helping you. But do you think that would just be kind of a big thing to do? How many of you think if you raise somebody from the dead, that would just be huge? Oh, it would be huge. And what I'm talking about raising somebody from the dead, I'm talking about bringing a dead body back. I think my earring just fell off. Oh, well. It's getting to that. Well, if he were bringing back a dead body, that would be just enormous for any of us. But there's a lot more in the resurrection than just bringing a dead body back. The reality is the resurrection of Jesus was the ultimate manifestation of the power of God. Ultimate. And it was bigger than anything that ever happened before, including creation, and anything that will ever happen that we know of again. It was the ultimate manifestation of that power. Nate, come forth! You can go to your seat. He's not dead anymore. Now, I just want you to see it was more than just reviving a dead body. Because you need to remember this. When Jesus was raised from the dead, well, let me just say it this way. Jesus did not die on the cross as himself. Jesus didn't die on the cross as himself. When Jesus died on the cross, there were other people on that cross with him. Do any of y'all know anybody who was on the cross with him? Who? I was. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Speaking as all of us were crucified with Christ. So, now this takes this resurrection power in a whole nother level, because Jesus didn't just die on the cross as himself. He died on the cross in reality as every person who had ever or who would ever live. He died on the cross. So, in raising Jesus from the dead, because every person died in Christ, when Jesus was raised from the dead, God wasn't just raising one person from the dead, and he wasn't just reviving a dead body. When he raised Jesus from the dead, he raised every person who had ever lived or who would ever live. He raised us all from the dead. Now, we were thinking it was pretty tough to raise one person from the dead. Now, you look around this room. Everybody look around. What about if we raised all these people from the dead? CNN would be here. It'd be front page USA Today. These people were raised from the dead. But he didn't just raise, a couple hundred people from the dead. He raised the whole world, and everybody who was in it and who will be in it were all raised. Suddenly this power seems a lot bigger. Does it to you? It's a lot bigger power. It's not just reviving a dead body that was in a tomb. He raised all of us up from the dead when he raised Jesus from the dead. You were raised from the dead too. I'm talking about this power because you don't know about this power. I'm telling you, we don't know diddly about the power of God. Oh, we're like, oh yeah, we know all about. I'm going to tell you don't appreciate what's in you. The vastness of this explosive, dynamic, dynamite power that's in you. Now, he was raised from the dead. His body was raised up. But what kind of power did it take to raise the whole human race from the dead? You know, in reality, raising the whole human race from the dead was really the easy part. Where's that easy button? Hit it. It's over there. That was the easy part. In comparison to really what happened, because let's look a little further behind what happened at the resurrection. Jesus wasn't just resurrected out of a grave. You know, we see the passion of the Christ and we may weep or, I mean, it's really moving when you think what he suffered for us physically. But I want you to know, when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished," and his spirit left his body, the suffering had just begun. What we saw was the easy part of his suffering. Because what happened when his spirit left his body? It went somewhere. His spirit didn't just hang out in a cave for 3 days. And his spirit didn't go to heaven and play checkers with the angels. His spirit went somewhere. Because see, he didn't die as Jesus, he died as you. And where is it that you were supposed to go? Where? Hell. Because he was dying as you, and you were doomed to an eternity in hell, guess where he had to go? He had to go to hell. And because he was going to hell, not just as you or you or you or some good people or some nice people or even some Abrahamic covenant people who could hang out in the upper regions of hell called paradise, Abraham's bosom. No, he didn't die just as the nice law-keeping people. He died as the deepest, darkest, meanest cuss there ever lived. He died as him and all his brothers. So he didn't go to a nice place in hell. He went, in fact, Psalm 88 tells us that he went to the very depth and the lowest pit of hell. So if hell has a basement where they really do the nastiest things, where the dungeon of horrors is, that's where Jesus was. That's where he went. He didn't go there as Jesus. He went there as you. So that's where Jesus was. Now we're in a whole different thing. We're not just talking about reviving a dead body. We're talking about a man in the pit. And I don't think you and me have any idea how bad hell is. And I don't think we have any idea what it means to be in the lowest, darkest, most awful, horrible place of anywhere in the universe. And in the universe says this is the worst place to be. And that's where he was. And he's totally cut off. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's totally cut off from his Father. So there he is. Why is he there? Because he's there substituting himself for you and me. Remember it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He went as you and me." Now, I have to find where I am in my notes because I get way ahead. But when he was there in the depths of hell, he wasn't just laying on the ground. All of the forces of darkness, because you know, even though the Jews didn't know who Jesus was, even though his people who followed him didn't really know who he was, some of them had a clue here and there. I mean, Peter got a revelation one day. But the reality was, Satan did know who he was. And he thought when he crucified him and his spirit went into hell, he thought, "I got him." But he, you know, Satan is not a nice guy. He didn't just say, "I got him," and just let him lay on the floor there in the pit of hell. Every demon, every principality and power, every ruling lord of darkness jumped on him and whipped him. Now you think that cat of nine tails whipped him. He was being whipped in hell. He was being tormented in hell. The spirit behind every sickness and every disease attacked him. Every tormenting spirit that torments people in their minds, depression, oppression, just the terrible torment that people experience in their mind, that was on him. Every little imp that inspires hatred and strife and envy and confusion. That was all on him. They were just having their way with him. Every evil thing that you know of that's inspired by the forces of evil, all of those forces were on him right there. Like I said, he suffered. You know, there came a time when even Satan himself jumped on him. The one who had the power of death at that point, and the one who was the author of sin and death, he jumped on him. And he was having his way with Jesus. And right when it looked like this was a final defeat, a final blow, this looked like that Jesus was completely done in, right then something happened. The biggest concentration of spiritual dynamite that's ever been released in a moment of time came from on high through the universe down into passing the upper regions of hell, way down into that pit right where Jesus is, and that energy exploded in him. And when that energy exploded in him, suddenly he stood up and threw off all the forces of darkness. Threw them off. I'm telling you, he threw off lack. He threw off poverty, and he dealt it a death blow. He did. Because he bore our poverty. Every demon that would ever torment man, every force, every evil thing that would ever come against you in any way, he brought it to naught. That means he brought it to nothing through the explosion of that power within him and upon him. What happened? The Bible says in Colossians 2:15, having spoiled, disarmed, and put off from him principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's what he did. Praise God. Let's just take a minute and praise God. Thank God for the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, we thank you, Father. Thank you for that explosion that happened in hell, that blew it to smithereens, that blew it apart and totally destroyed the power of the enemy. Oh, it overcame every force of darkness, every tool they have, every method that they use. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you that every weapon in their arsenal, that they were disarmed of those weapons. Oh, we thank you and we praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that awesome? It says he stripped them of everything they'd use against you or me. Stripped them. So they're unarmed. They don't have power against us. No firepower. Nothing. All their ammo's gone. It blew up in the explosion. I'm telling you. You think that Nagasaki was a big mess after that atomic bomb exploded there. You ain't seen a mess till you see what they had to deal with in hell. Hell is in shambles. Don't think hell is some nice place. I'm telling you, hell is in shambles today because what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, the forces of darkness, they're in shambles today. They have been wounded with wounds that cannot heal. They're not all powerful, strong. It's not like that. I'm telling you, if you could see the forces of darkness for what they really are, they are battered, they are defeated, I'm going to tell you something else, they're naked too. Because of what Jesus did. Through, by, and in that power. The power of God. Now, that's what it means when it says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Gives you a little bit more appreciation than a dead body coming back to life, huh? But that's not all the verse, because the verse says this, verses 19 and 20 of Ephesians 1, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and," everybody say "and," "and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." So the power blew hell to smithereens and destroyed all the forces of darkness and seated him at the right hand of God. Now, Jesus went to hell not as him, but as who? Us. And so when he was raised up, who else was raised up? You were. You were raised up. Ephesians tells us we were raised up together with him. Ephesians 2. In fact, verses right after this go on to explain what happened by the power of God. It says, Ephesians chapter 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ." So he raised us up with him. I've been raised from the dead. Y'all been raised from the dead? Some of you don't look like it. Some of you look pretty dead. We've been raised from the dead. And not just raised from the dead. I'm talking about raised from that pit. And raised from everything that was on him in that pit. And not only were you raised up, when he defeated everything that was on him, guess what? You defeated it too. You defeated it. You defeated poverty and lack and oppression, and you defeated torment, and you defeated fear itself. Every sickness, you defeated it. Right there, 2,000 years ago, you defeated it. Woo! Now, that wasn't the end. Because he brought us up out of that and we whipped hell, but then he raised him up together. He raised him up to be seated. And then Ephesians goes on to say, I have to find it, it's somewhere in here. "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So I'm going to tell you, not only did the power raise every person in the world from the dead out of that pit and defeat every foe for every person on planet Earth or that ever would be or ever had been, but it also raised up every person from the lowly place, which was the very bottom, because that's where we were. There was no lower place in the universe. All the way up. Not just restored us to where Adam had been in the garden. Raised us all the way up to be seated with him in heavenly places. What a trip, man. What a trip. What a journey. And it all happened at supersonic speed, faster than the speed of light. It happened. Bam. We were raised up out of that pit and made to sit together with him. Because he wasn't raised up just as himself. He was raised up as me. And when God seated him, he didn't just seat Jesus. He seated me. He seated you. Because there is no longer any me. I died. And the only part of me that lives is Christ in me, Paul said. The life which I now live, I live by faith in Christ and what he's done for me in this resurrection. So now we're raised up. Now, you just don't know what it means to be seated with him in heavenly places. I'm telling you. We're like, oh yeah, I took those righteousness classes and I know. On that. You don't know. We don't know. I'm telling you people, we don't know. We know a little bit. But there's so much more to see and to grasp. Because with his power, he picked us up. Let me just tell you a few things that happened. I'm just going to rush right through this. He provided you with everything that you need. Every equipment, every ability that you need to be seated with him. It's not like you're just sitting there watching something going on and you're in the background and just lucky to be here in the throne room. No, you're there equipped, empowered to rule and reign with him. Not just, oh, isn't that nice? We get to see the angels fly around and worship God. No. We get to see that, but I'm telling you, we are equipped to rule and reign with Him. We're not just along for the ride. We are co-laborers with Him, partnered together with Him. By His power, that power takes care of every one of your weaknesses, every inability, every imperfection, every shortcoming. Anything that says you have no right to sit at the right hand of God, that power takes care of it. It fills in the gaps, adds to you what you need. We have a word for that. Does anybody know the word for that? Grace. Grace is dunamis power. By His power, you're able to hit the mark. Because you know what sin is? Missing the mark. By His power, we are able to hit the mark of everything that's required of us. We are able to hit the mark by His power. It's His power that does it. It's not you. It's His power working in you and through you. And because you aren't seated there in heavenly places as you, you're seated there as Him. That power has the ability to transform you into His image. Now, have any of you ever experienced His transforming power? I mean, you've heard Matt tell. He was basically an alcoholic at 19 years old. Does he seem like that now? He talks about that, and I'm wondering, who is that guy? Have any of you been transformed? Gary Platt, have you been transformed? He's working on all of us. That power is what brings the transformation. It's not your will. You know what I'm doing, don't you? I'm holding on because any minute I'm going to bust out and be who I really am. But I'm holding on, trying to repress it all. That's not the life of Christianity. I tell you, that's how most people are living, though. If you see them, they got that same look on their face. That's not it. It's the power of God flowing through us that changes us and transforms us and renovates us and makes us totally new people even here. And because you're there with Him, you've been empowered as a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Everything He has, every right, every privilege, every entitlement, everything that belongs to Him now fully and completely belongs to you. And you have as much right to it as He does. You don't even have to ask Him if you can have it. If you want to take the family jet out for a ride, you go right for it. You know what I mean? So to speak, spiritually, you have full right. If you need to use the healing power, it's yours to use. You don't have to say, Jesus, can I use it? It's yours. As much as it is His, it's yours. Anything that heaven would do for Him, it'll do for you. That's all the working of that mighty power. Kind of makes you see that verse in a little different way, huh? I want to read those last verses, 20 through 23 of Ephesians 1 there. I want to read those in the Message translation. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised Him from death and set Him on a throne deep in heaven in charge of running the universe. Now this is you. Set you on a throne deep in heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from His rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. And at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which He speaks and acts, by which He fills everything with His presence. Praise God. That's all in the power of God. Now, I mentioned a lot that the power of God did for us. Are you seeing this? Because really what happened, and I mean, this is mind-boggling. We went from the very lowest place you could ever go to the very highest place that you could ever be. by the power of God, by that resurrection power. That's what we celebrate when we have Easter. That's what we're celebrating. Not just he came out of a tomb. Oh, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah. Got Easter egg. Oh, the tomb is empty. It's not just about an empty tomb. I'm going to tell you, your tomb's empty. It's not just his empty tomb. It's not just one. It's all of us have been made alive together with him and raised up with him. That's resurrection power. Now, how much power do you think that took? To overcome all the forces of darkness. How much power would that take? I don't know. But the power of God was more than adequate. That's the power that's in you. That's the power that's working for you today. It's available to you. Now, we're going to talk in the weeks ahead about how to get it flowing in your life, because just because it's there doesn't mean it's working. But that's what's there. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty jacked up right now. I'm not really sure what to do. I feel like just leaping off out here. That's what's in us. Why don't we stand up? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah to your name. Oh, glory be to God. We bless you and praise you and thank you. Oh, we thank you for this glorious power, this awesome, awesome, awesome power that's within us. And what this power has done. Oh, you have done great things, all right. You have certainly done great things. You have delivered us. And set us free. You've delivered us from every addiction, from every oppression. You have delivered us from every sin. You've delivered us from the sins of others against us. You've delivered us from hurt and from pain and from torment. You are the delivering God, and you've delivered us. You brought us out from under all that mess. We thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Just give him praise and thank him for what he did for you. He did it for you. You ought to be thankful today for what he did for you. He did it for you. Hallelujah. We thank you for power that raised us up. Oh, power that overcame, overcoming power. Overcoming power, overcoming power, overcoming power, overcoming power, overcoming power, hallelujah, overcoming, overcoming, overcoming strife, overcoming hatred, overcoming division, overcoming bigotry, overcoming, overcoming, overcoming power, hallelujah, hallelujah, we have overcome. We are overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 No foe. No foe. No foe. No foe can defeat us. It's already been defeated. No foe can defeat us. There's nothing. There's no lack that can take us out. No poverty that can wipe us out. No poverty that can bankrupt us. There is no sickness that can take our lives. There is no disease that can take our bodies from us prematurely. There is no force of darkness. No force of darkness that reigns supreme. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you've raised us up. You've raised us up. Woo! We've been raised up. Now we rule and reign. Now we rule and reign with you. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We rule. We reign. Oh, we live victoriously. Oh, we live as overcomers. Hallelujah. 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 And we have access. We have access to the vaults of heaven. We have access to the riches in glory. We have access. Oh, we have authorization to get what we need, to get the power we need. Oh, we thank you for that power. Glory to God. Glory to God. The power that brings us all out of anything the enemy brings against us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ability, wisdom, peace, strength, hallelujah. It all belongs to me. It all belongs to us. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to say this with me. Say this. Say, I believe in the power of God.
I believe in its work.
And I release it to flow into my life. I believe the power of God is working in my life. It's working in my body. It's working in my finances. It's working in my family. It's working in my relationships. It's working in my school or my job. It's working in my mind. It's working in my heart. It's working in me to change me, to transform me, to conform me to the image of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now, this was the beginning of a series that we're doing. But tonight, we're doing something very interesting. Tonight, we're having a Power for Living meeting. Now, does anybody know what's going to happen at that meeting? The power of God's going to show up. The power of God will be flowing and will be an active manifestation. So I invite you to come because it's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God on high. That same power is going to be here tonight. Well, how do you know it's going to be here tonight, Pastor Susie? I mean, don't you just have to wait and see? No, I know it's going to be here because I'm bringing it with me when I come. And if you come, I recommend you bring it. Because we all get in here and the power of God's here. There may be some people who haven't tapped into the power yet that come. And they can get the power. But anything you need, you can receive from God. By His glorious power. Woo! Excuse me for wooing all day, but I'm excited. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have a Power for Living meeting. What happens, how it happens, I don't know. Hopefully God will show us between now and 7 o'clock. Praise God. Bless everybody. Bow your head just for a moment.